One of the reasons why people get confused while reading the Gita is that they do not make a distinction between Sankhya, which is known as Sankhya in the history of Indian philosophy, and Sankhya, which is Vedantic Sankhya, to which Sri Krishna refers in this book. And very often, the terms being common, this confusion becomes further confounded. As here also, that is why I am taking your time to describe this so that it becomes clearer. Now, according to Sankhya, Purusha is original. Many Purushas are original, not one Purusha, there are many Purushas. All the Purushas are original. Prakriti is one, Purushas are many. Prakriti, however, is one, but many modifications. Purusha has no modification. Each Purusha is without modification because Purusha is inactive. Where there is no activity, there can't be modification. Prakriti is full of modifications. Right from Mahat or Buddhi, Ahamkara, and Manas, and senses of knowledge, senses of action, Tanmatras and Panchamahabhutas, all are modifications. But modifications of one principle called Prakriti. So this Prakriti is also original. According to Sankhya, Purusha, which is inactive, happens to glance at Prakriti. This is a kind of a story of creation according to Sankhya. Prakriti, to begin with, is unfolded. At a particular movement, it is unfolded. Then it becomes folded, that is to say, when equilibrium is reached, sattva, rajas and tamas, when they reach an equilibrium, then it becomes folded up. It is called pralaya, when Prakriti becomes folded up. Now, in this state of folding up, what is it that causes unfolding of Prakriti? If you reach a stage of equilibrium, it means that sattva, rajas and tamas have reached a point of equal strength. And therefore, there is no movement, no unfolding. It's not Trigunatita, no. Trigunatita would be a condition where three gunas are transcended. Here three gunas are simply clubbed together, but in an equilibrium. It is like two strengths, as it were, opposed to each other. Therefore, this is now not moving. But because of the three forces together, they are not transcended. The three gunas are now in equal strength. Each moving in opposite direction, as a result of it, there is no movement. It's jamming. The three forces are jammed together, therefore there is no movement. So the story starts with this condition, when Prakriti is folded up in a jammed condition. Now the question is, by what will this jamming be dissolved or disturbed? If it remains continuously like it, it can remain forever like that. The three forces have reached such a point, they can never be, now it's jammed. Something else must happen. Something else must happen from outside. Because the three are inwardly, they are all jammed. So So the answer of Sankhya is that glance of Purusha on Prakriti, the Purusha which is absolutely inactive, glances at Prakriti. Of course, glancing is an action. If it is really inactive, it can't really glance at Prakriti. But this is the contradiction of Sankhya. This is why this philosophy is not ultimately accepted by the Bhagavad Gita and by the Vedanta. Because there is at the very starting point, there is a contradiction. If Purusha is entirely inactive, and if Prakriti, which is absolutely folded up, cannot be moved except by the glance of Purusha, that means that Purusha must be active. Glance is an action. So somehow, we go back to the story of Sankhya with this contradiction accepted, that Purusha glances at Prakriti, and with this glancing, this equilibrium is broken. As a result, Prakriti begins to unfold itself. In a poetic manner, it has been described as the dance of a dancer who dances at the command of the viewer. The Purusha wants to know what is Prakriti. It glances for observation. And to satisfy this desire of Purusha, the Prakriti unfolds itself.